The theme this Sunday was about embodying our soul gifts, being present in the world as the unique sparks of the divine that we each are, and yet also knowing we are part of oneness that transcends all of those differences. It's honoring our uniqueness while at the same time honoring our oneness. It's celebrating diversity while honoring each one and the oneness that holds us all in this web of life. As a preparation for going to this contemplative retreat with Cynthia, I've been watching some videos that she did that's on centering prayer, where she goes back and she looks at the contemplative prayer, the ancient traditions, and she actually went back and read in the original Middle English, The Cloud of Unknowing. That's one of the great classic spiritual treatises that comes from the 14th century. And then she weaves it together with modern spirituality, with Thomas Keating's centering prayer, with Ken Wilber's levels of consciousness, and brings them together. And as I've been watching these, I remembered reading Thomas Keating's centering prayer when I was in ministerial school. It was one of our assignments. And the thing that I remember most from that book was a picture. And it showed a circle with a dot in the middle of it. And it said, God is equally present in the center of the circle and at the periphery. Isn't that beautiful? Equally present, transcendent, and yet embodied. And I think we lost so much of our connection to spirit and to what first century Christianity was meant to be before all of the committees and the organizations got in charge of interpreting what it meant. It was meant to be a spiritual path that was an inner path that helped you recognize you were one with the divine. Jesus did not come in and say, I'm different than the rest of you. He said, you are my brothers and sisters. Everything I'm doing, I'm just showing you that you can do it as well. It was meant to be an invitation to participate in a creative life that lets you blend that which is embodied to that which transcends words that we just heard. And it's through us that we get to blend those together. And it's such an honor and such a challenge at the same time. Sometimes I do it a lot better than I do it on other days. And one of the things that she was talking about in this is those different levels of consciousness, the different levels of how do we connect with that divine presence. And she has a term, cataphatic and anaphatic, which I will not give you a test on later, don't worry. But cataphatic is what most of our spiritual traditions are based on. It's using words, it's using thought, it's using mindfulness, it's using all of those things to help link our outer reality with the inner reality. And there is lower active, that's where you're out in your daily life going around and you do acts of kindness. You let the person go ahead of you in the line at the grocery store because you can tell they really need to. That's lower active, that's that daily life stuff. The next level is higher active. That's when we choose to pursue a spiritual life and to look for meaning in life, to look for the presence of God even in complex circumstances that challenge us. It's where you are embodying that presence, but doing it at a higher level. It's being like an eagle and being able to fly off the ground and look back at your life and seeing it from that higher perspective. The next level is lower contemplative. that's where you still may be saying prayers that you're familiar with. You may do a rosary or prayers with prayer beads. You do that communication in communion with the divine, where you live and move your and have your being with the divine as you're going through life. So you get this even higher perspective. But it is still kind of focused on words and concepts, and it's still not completely unitive, which was the message of Jesus and of Magdalene. You're still separating God and yourself. You're still kind of evaluating good and bad. And she said, one of the hardest things in doing contemplative prayer is that frequently you'll start to get something really shiny and wonderful. It's like, oh, Mother Mary has come to visit me. Oh, I've got this great insight. I need to stop my meditation and go write it down so I don't lose it. And she said, that's that lower contemplative. It brings great gifts. It's part of what we are honored to have as part of our being as a divine human person. But that has certain limitations because it still has a sense of a subject and an object. It's still duality. But if you can take a little time, she recommends starting with 20 minutes twice a day, where you just allow yourself to settle in and be. Where you don't beat those thoughts away, because the more you fight them, the more they show up. It's just, one of my early meditation teachers said, when the thoughts come in, think of them as clouds in the sky and let them drift in and drift out. Don't get attached to them. And you can begin to then experience this unitive consciousness, this sense of oneness, where boundaries begin to dissolve, where you don't need a language of words. That's where language of spirit comes from. It comes from that high spiritual energy that is taking form in and through and as us, but it's feeling it at a really pure level of oneness. And I think that's what we are moving towards more and more. It's not by accident that in our lifetimes, these contemplative traditions have re-emerged. The teachings of the Church of Amor, of the Cathars, of Mary Magdalene and Jesus, have emerged. They've been underground since the 12th century. They've merged in our lifetimes. In our lifetime, the ancient traditions of the 14th and 16th century meditative and monastic traditions are coming up, not to tell us to go hide out in monasteries, but to say your lives are the sacred space in which you live. Greg Braden did a wonderful book a number of years back where he said it used to be in prior lifetimes we would go into temples to do our initiatory processes. We would go apart into these sacred spaces and do processes. There are some wonderful books of people with remembrances of what some of those initiatory paths were. But he said now, we are progressing, and so our lives themselves have become the initiatory chambers of our souls. Our initiations are our connections with our higher selves, with the divine, with one another, with all of life in all of its forms, all of the kingdoms, animal, mineral, plant, human, celestial, seen and unseen. It's all part of one. And that we're coming to a place where this is re-emerging. That, I realized, is why, for me, I'm a unity minister, and that's why I couldn't be a science of mind minister. I love science of mind. I love the fact that you need to realize that your thoughts are essential in the unfolding of your life and how you interpret and perceive it. It's not what happens to you, it's how do you perceive and commune with what's happening. That's where the true energy lies. And so part of us needs those things where we work with our bodies, we work with our hearts, we work with our minds, but we're also always working with our eternal spirits, our souls, that can commune with us and help us connect with that peace that transcends all understanding. That's always been one of my favorite passages, because having been born into a family with an older brother profoundly multi-handicapped, having been a special ed teacher and a nurse and a hospital chaplain and now a minister, I have seen things wherein I've been called to somehow touch that place that lets the presence of God appear, whatever is going on. And to see it in the people around me. It's not me. It's being willing to see that presence and to realize that there is a higher order of energy that we can't quite put into words. And instead of going, oh, I'm so frustrated, I can't describe this mystical experience, this understanding. Instead of going, I'm so frustrated, I can't put in, it's, oh, I have something I can't put into words. Those are some of the sweetest moments of our lives. Even in the scripture, it says, Spirit will be present with you when you are crying with groans too deep for words. That's in the scriptures, in our classic Bible, that it's so easy to throw out with the bathwater because people have abused it. There are beautiful passages in that scripture. Spirit will intercede with groans too deep for words. And we can open and have those moments where that presence comes and it is so filled with joy and peace, there are no words to describe it. And most of us, as she says, want to live the contemplative life and hit those unitive moments and then, can I scramble back up there and stay there? And that's why people go off to monasteries and convents frequently, is if I get rid of all this other stuff, then I can focus. And that does help. But I believe that what we really do is called to embody it in our world and in our lives, not just for ourselves, but for each other. When I was in ministerial school, I was in meditation in the Fillmore Chapel, and we were doing an extended meditation, and I've always seen this color when I really get deep in it. I call it the purple, but it's purple that's shot with a little gold and a little green, and I've since heard that that's the color that is emerging as one of the new colors in our spectrum that we'll all be able to see before too long. And I can't, that's as close as I can describe it. And to this day, when I close my eyes and settle in deep, that's what seems to appear. Well, this time, instead of having that purple surround me, I went right out of the top of my head up into the purple. And it was just, I still remember the moment. It was breathtaking. And there are no words to describe exactly what I experienced. It was peaceful. It was loving. There were no boundaries. I was myself, and yet I was part of a whole at the same time. It was paradox. It was amazing. And I'm like, oh, wow, this is what oneness and unity is all about. Oh, I want to stay here. Whoosh, right back through the top of my head and into my body. And I sat there for the next 30 minutes. Come on. Up the top of your head. Visualize shooting out of the top of your head. And I couldn't. And I was like, I'm not doing it right. If I do it right, I'll go out of the top of my head again. I tried for 2 weeks to come back out of the top of my head. And I finally thought, okay, I need some help. And I went and talked to Debbie Tyson, who was our prayer instructor at the time. And I said, Debbie, here's what happened. And I keep trying to shoot out of the top of my head again. And I kept, what am I doing wrong? And she said, Pam, you're not doing anything wrong. She said, you were blessed to have a mystical experience like most people are. And our first response is we want to scramble back up and spend all of our time there. And she said, I remember your covenant. And she made me pull it out, which is, I will hold your people in my heart. That was my bottom line covenant that I signed when I went to ministerial school. Whatever it looks like, I swore I wasn't going to do church, but I'll hold your people in my heart. And she said, if you want to do that, she said, you need to take this experience and figure out how to integrate it in and embody it and share it. And she said, once it's happened to you, she said, close your eyes for a minute right here. And I did. And she said, can you feel what it felt like? And I said, oh, yeah. There are no words. But I can use these, but it doesn't capture it. But I can remember. And she said, it is always and forever with you. That's the gift of memory. Memory can help us recapture, and we tend to use memory to recapture the stuff we want to process and change, which we can. When you bring a memory that you want to shift into this present moment, into this kind of space, you change it not only now in your perception of it, but since there is no time and space and spirit, I believe that the change you do in this moment radiates back through the energy field to the moment. And so all of that challenge and grief that you may have been carrying for years, you haven't just let go of in this moment. You've released all the way back along that strand to the moment. But we can also use those memories of those moments when we looked into the eyes of a newborn baby. I remember holding Michaela, blessing her, and I started to give her a blessing, and she looked right at me. Moments where you've been out at the beach and all of your worries have just fallen away to the sound of the water, the sunlight, and the wind blowing. For some of you, it may have come in times of prayer or meditation. It may be as you're walking around in your life. It may be through the people you share life with. But we are all called to be present, to be embodied in that lower active, but to do it with spiritual practices that link our higher active with the lower contemplative, because those two, she draws a circle between and says it's an energy field. And then occasionally give yourself the gift of transcending outer appearances, thoughts, words, and open to receive that presence of spirit.